Welcome to Light Embassy Church.
Living life to the full.
Welcome to another life-transforming show,
bringing clarity and balance into your walk of faith.
Fables appeal to the flesh. And our team scripture is taken from Paul's epistle to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 3 to 4. I'm reading from the KJV. Paul says, "For the time will come." This message is very important to you, the Christian, because this is a prophetic word from the Spirit of God through his servant Paul the Apostle. And he says, "For the time will come." The Spirit is explicit about this. He says that for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. It's for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but through their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Now the Holy Spirit witnessed through his servant Paul the Apostle that the time was coming in the church that Christians will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. Helping you to understand that it's not every message that you hear in a church that is sound doctrine. And the Holy Spirit saw it coming, that a time will come that it's not every church where sound doctrine will be preached. So when people go to church and then they sing hallelujah and they raise up their hands praising God, it doesn't necessarily mean that what is being preached from the pulpit is sound doctrine. You see, it doesn't mean that, because the Holy Spirit has told us that a time was coming that in churches, things will be preached in the name of Jesus. It will be preached in the name of Jesus, but yet it will not be sound doctrine. He says, but through their own lust, and he tells us what will cause that. He says that they will be deceived through their own lust. That is, this message is going to appeal, that wrong message is going to appeal to their senses, to their flesh, to the pleasures of life. And because of that, they will heap to themselves teachers. You see, this he referred to it as a heap, meaning that he's talking about a large number of teachers who will be teaching this, and many Christians will heap to themselves these teachers. They will love them. These are the teachers that they will go after. Their sermons are those that they will follow, because their messages will appeal to their senses, to their flesh. It says, having itching ears, and through this they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, saw the future and declared what was going to happen in the body of Christ, that is to say, the church. Paul says, when you read 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1 to 2, so it's the same thing that he kept saying. You see, his message to Timothy is replete with this information, because these are the things that the Holy Spirit showed to his servant Paul the Apostle. You see, so when you read the first epistle to Timothy from the chapter 4 from verse 1 to 2, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. So this helps you to understand where he drew his information from in the second epistle, because it's in the same, it's the same message, in the same context, the same light. You see, that's why he can go on to tell Timothy that now, for the time will come. Why can Paul be so adamant about it? How can Paul go on and say that for the time will come? How can he say this with a sure? How could he say this with so much surety that this was going to happen? God, he tells Timothy, for the time will come that this is going to happen. But Paul was a creature, he was a human being. He only know the future if God reveals the future to him. But yesterday, the man went and said, for the time will come. How can he say this with so much surety? It was because of the 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. It gives us a clue to that answer. because the Holy Spirit has revealed to his servant Paul the Apostle. So that's why in his first epistle, he earlier told Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." The Spirit speaketh expressly. Right, Paul didn't say, "I'm the one saying it." Paul didn't say, "It's my opinion." Paul didn't say, "If I see the way people are behaving, I can predict." This was not a prediction. No, no, no. This is divine inspired information from the Holy Ghost. It's for the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, he also give us the specific period, dispensation for this, the period of time for this. He says this is going to happen in the latter times, and we are all living the latter times. We are the people of the latter times, the latter days. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Meaning that that message which will come to lure people from the faith will be a seductive message, a message that comes to deceive, a message that to be cleverly crafted for deceptive purposes, to deceive the Christian. You see, sometimes people wonder, why is it that, man of God, you always, all these years we have been listening to you, and always it seems that you are criticized, you go on criticizing certain things, you go on hammering on certain things. It's because of these things. Because it's important for us who are genuine servants of God, men of God in these latter days, to hammer on these things, because God told us it's going to happen. And he told us who is behind. Satan is behind seductive spirit, doctrines of devils, in finding itself in the church. Because he tells you where it will find itself, in the church, because he says this is going to lead people to lure you from the faith, meaning they were already Christians. So he's not talking about the world. This way, people who are already in the faith, who are going to be taught messages just to deceive them. So this is serious. This is not something to take it lightly. If you're a pastor, you have to take it serious. So then you have to be focused and examine messages to see which of them are not from God and which of them are from the devil. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." And the Holy Ghost didn't say, because we are living the dispensation of grace, when that happens, there will be consequences. No, he says there will be consequences. So grace doesn't excuse anyone. That is why the Holy Spirit is saying that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devils. Then look at what he goes on to say. He says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, meaning in pretense. They will pretend. You Christians, you have to be very careful. Like the Pharisees were hypocrites. Jesus said in Mark chapter 23, he says that what they say, they don't do. He says these folks also will be pretending. They will pretend as being ministers of God. They will come talking about Jesus. They will come speaking sweet things. They will come presenting a holy righteous life, but the messages they are presenting to you are not from God, from the devil, but they come wearing suits and speaking the name of Jesus, whilst really they are speaking lies to you in hypocrisy, in pretense, assuming to be something that they are not, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It means that these people now, their conscience is numbed. They have chosen to go in the way of Balaam. You have to be careful as a Christian if you are living in the latter times. The times that we are living in, you have to be careful, because we have been forewarned by the Holy Ghost himself. These are not words of a preacher, but the Holy Spirit himself. This also should tell you that the message that we preach, the Holy Ghost, likes what we are doing. When we come to correct certain things, certain erroneous doctrines, certain seductive doctrine, certain doctrines of devil, the deep secrets of Satan, which have found itself in the church. When we come to correct these things, the Holy Spirit is the one who has sent us to do that. You know, some Christians, when they hear us doing that, they are angry. Because, see, we are in grace. Every time you are saying this, why are you always hammering on these things? Well, it's the Holy Ghost who wants us to do that. Are you angry at God? Are you angry at God? You want us to correct people from error. This is the Holy Ghost behind it. So if you are ignorant, don't go on pointing hands on genuine ministers of God who are doing the work. If you are ignorant, keep quiet, because you don't know the things of the Spirit to talk. These are things that the Holy Ghost has sent us to hammer on. That's what the Bible is saying here. The Holy Spirit revealed to Paul that these things were going to happen. And as servants of God, why did the Holy Spirit reveal to Paul? So that when the time comes, or so that he will write it and send to Timothy, so that also it will be passed down, because the Holy Spirit knows everything. Then he knows that these things that he was telling Paul will be passed down to our generation. So that also we, the ministers and Christians living these days, when we hear this, we can forewarn others. You see that? That is the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. These are not words of a preacher, but the Holy Spirit himself. And when God directly speaks to you, you have to take it very seriously. These were prophetic words of the Holy Ghost regarding the present church. What he said pertained to the latter times. Our times. It says in the latter times. Remember, in the latter times. And I'll go on to explain to you why in the latter times is very important, because we take another scripture and it will bring something to our mind which is very important. See, some Christians would depart from the truth and bring in their own gospel message. They will speak lies in pretense. Now, as a Christian, dearly beloved child of God, and ask yourself this, you know, sometimes there are people who are well known around the global ministers. Some of them are well known. I don't want to mention names. And because they are well known, when they write something, they say something. So, or pastors around the world, they buy into it and they go and teach their flocks, leading them astray. For instance, I have mentioned this over and over. This is their gospel message they call once saved, always saved. It's a lie from hell. Don't let anyone deceive you. A Christian can lose his salvation. This is not the opinions of Brother Alex. These are the words of the Holy Spirit himself. He's telling you here. Don't let anyone deceive you. The Holy Spirit wrote to Paul and said that some will depart from the faith, meaning they were in the faith, they were Christians, and they will depart from it. They will lose their salvation. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. So if any man of God comes in the name of Jesus and tells you that a Christian cannot lose his salvation, once saved, always saved, it's a lie from hell. Because they tell them, oh, no matter what, Jesus has paid it all. So no matter what you do, you will end up in heaven. No, it's not true. It's a lie from hell, from the pit of hell. If Satan thinks that, let's analyze it for a second. If Satan thinks that no matter what I do, those Christians, because they believe in Jesus, no matter what they do, they will end up in the kingdom. They will end up in the kingdom when Jesus returns. They will be part of that kingdom that he will set up on earth. If Satan knows that, why will he waste his time sending seducing spirit to seduce Christians so that he lures them from the faith? Because Satan knows that it's a lie. He knows that if he can get a Christian to get out of truth, that Christian will really lose his salvation. The devil knows that. Just that some Christians don't know it. It's a pity some Christians don't know it, when the devil himself knows that. That's why he's sending seducing spirits to seduce those Christians and lure them so that they fall apostate. The devil knows that. Demons knows that. But some Christian preachers, they don't know it. It's sad. But the devil knows that. See, some Christians will depart from the truth, like I said, and bring in their own gospel message. They will speak lies in pretense. Now, funny to say that these sacred words from the Lord Holy Spirit himself pulls down that gospel of a Christian cannot lose his salvation. Well, the Lord Holy Spirit himself says they can, and he says they will. He says, some will depart from the faith and give heed to wrong doctrines, doctrines of devils. You have to have previously been in the faith to depart from it. Unbelievers cannot depart from the faith because they were not in it in the first place. So what Paul is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying here through his servant Paul, doesn't apply to the world, it applies to the Christian. These are people who are already in the faith and they will be departing, meaning they were Christians. What are these false doctrines? Someone may ask. These are messages which don't agree with the Holy Scriptures. These are messages which don't agree with the Holy Scriptures. They are fables. That is what Peter, you see, when Peter talked about it, fables, Paul talked about it. And what did they refer to as fables? Fables were messages. Where the apostles talk about fables in the Bible, they explained it to us what in their understanding fables were. To them, fables are messages which doesn't agree with the Holy Scriptures. Any message which is preached, it doesn't matter the man of God or the prophet from which it is preached from. If it doesn't agree with God's inspired Holy Scriptures, they are fables. They are fables. It doesn't matter. They will say it in the name of Jesus. They will shout Jesus. It doesn't matter. They are fables. As long as it doesn't agree with the Holy Scriptures of God, they are fables. It may appeal to your senses. It may be sweet to your ears. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't agree with the Holy Scriptures, they are fables. For instance, they pray that there will be Christians will be raptured before the tribulation. These are fables. It doesn't agree with the Holy Scriptures. So they are fables. Now, it sounds sweet. They justify it any way they want to justify it, that they will be raptured before the tribulation. They will not be here. The church will not be here during the tribulation. These are fables because they don't agree with the Holy Scriptures. Irrespective of how sweet it may sound to their ears, they are fables. They are fables if they don't agree with the inspired Holy Scripture of God. They are fables. But why do some Christians like fables? Fables appeal to the lust of the flesh. They want a message of convenience, a message that will put their minds at peace. This really is not peace, it's an ungodly peace, because any peace which is not based on the word of God is not peace in it, really, it's not true peace, it's ungodly peace. So in itself, it's not peace. But in their carnal meaning of peace, they want a message of convenience, a message that will put their minds at peace whilst engaging in the pleasures of the flesh. Why won't that Christian who is in fornication like a message that tells her it doesn't matter because Jesus has paid it all? She will like it because she wants to remain in fornication and be sleeping with that guy. So anyone who comes with such a message that it doesn't matter, Jesus knows your weakness, he has paid it all, you still end up in heaven, it doesn't matter. She would like such a preacher. Why? Because that preacher is communicating a message that appeals to the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the works, the dead works of the flesh. That is why they like such preachers. That is why Paul says through their lust of their flesh, they will heap up false teachers. Because their messages be so sweet to their senses. That is what God is saying to us. Now you see why that extreme grace message in certain circles of Christendom, that extreme grace message, you see why it has advanced in many circles of the church. You see why it has become very popular. That is the reason. That's why it has become very popular, because like the Bible says, through the lust of the flesh, they will heap up these false teachers, having itching ears, turning them away, swaying them from the truth. That is why those messages have become popular, because it appeals the lust of the flesh. Like I always say, if a Christian, you end up in hell, you can't blame Jesus. Why? Because the Bible has spoken to you concerning the past. The Bible has spoken to you concerning the present. Also, the Bible has warned you concerning the future. And therefore, you cannot blame Jesus. You, if you want to know who is really teaching the true message, the gospel, the truth, you will know. Just focus on the script, the Bible. You will know who is really telling the truth. Those who are lying to you, you will know. if you study the word of God, you know, because the Bible, God knew all these things, and he wanted his children to know, so he put it in the word of God for us to know. That's why he tells us, read the Bible, study the scriptures. So the person will be deceived, the one who doesn't pay attention to the word of God. If you pay attention to the word of God, you will not be deceived. You will not be deceived. But you can't blame Jesus for not reading the Bible when you are spending hours on series and movies. You cannot blame Jesus. You cannot blame Jesus for that. Why won't that Christian who loves money, you see, he or she loves money, why won't that person like a message, a minister that present mammon as godliness, like the message they preach around the world, where they present money as godliness? They make Christians think that because they are having so much money, God is pleased with their life, which is a lie. Jesus himself said, a man's life consisted not in abundance of things. After he died and resurrected and ascended and sat on the throne of God, he came back and warned the Laodicean Christians who had that same mindset. What again do you want him to say? But because such Christian loves money, and Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil, when they turn on the telly and they see such preachers presenting money as godliness, they like such folks. And the Bible talked about it. Paul says, gain is not godliness. That's what Paul the Apostle said. Those ministers don't understand the Bible than Paul the Apostle himself. And Paul said, gain is not godliness. Why won't the adulteress in the church love the pastor who says, who are you to judge? They take certain scriptures out of context, certain words out of context, certain words that Paul said, like last time I was explaining the devotional in the past messages. You see, when that Christian brother was sleeping, committing fornication with a stepmother, Paul said, I have judged him. That same Paul who said, who are you to judge another man's servant? Paul said, I have judged that brother. And he went on to say that get that wicked brother from your company. That's what Paul the Apostle said. That same Paul who they will quote his statement in Romans chapter 14 when he says, who are you to judge another man's servant? They took it out of context. That's another day subject. That statement he made, judge not, who are you to judge another man's servant? You have to put it in context to see what he was trying to communicate. He didn't say, see, there are different kinds of judgments. You have to know the kind of judgment you're not supposed to pass on a Christian, even if he or she is committing sins. There are certain kind of judgment you're not supposed to pass on that person. But there are different kinds of judgment. But this kind of judgment, when you are judging to rebuke him and chastise him, the Bible says rebuke, chastise, correct with sound doctrine. Paul wrote to Titus, says rebuke, chastise, and correct with sound doctrine. Those people who don't rebuke and correct, they don't understand grace more than Paul the Apostle. You don't let people be deceiving you. You are deceiving a lot of Christians around the world with certain ignoramus messages. But if you be consistent with the words of the apostles, the words of God, the words of the Holy Scriptures, you will know truth. You will know truth. They hypocritically, see, he may even quote how Jesus didn't condemn the adulterous woman in John chapter 8 to argue his case. Sometimes you find some of them using such scripture, and they take, you see, when they want to seduce, Satan wants to deceive. Sometimes what he does is that he will quote a scripture. He quotes part of the scripture and leaves some. Like last time in Romans chapter 8, we saw when they say there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But they end there, but that's not the full statement. See, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But they will leave that ending part, you see, and they will just say there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But that is not what the apostle said. He said there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's not just anyone who calls himself a Christian. It's the Christian walking after the Spirit. If he's walking after the Spirit, then it applies to him. That's the one that there's no condemnation to him. But the one who is calls himself a Christian, but we're walking after the flesh, there's condemnation. That's what the Bible says. That's what he goes on to say. If you walk after the flesh, you shall die. He tells the Christian, if you walk after the flesh, you shall die. And that is condemnation. Don't let them deceive you. So they have been deceiving. This is why God raised me up for these things. To bring these changes in the body of Christ. To bring their hypocritical messages. To bring the light. To shine the light for people to know where they have, how they have been deceiving them over the years. It's wrong. So the same way in John chapter 8, the same thing. They'll refer to the adulterous woman. But you have to listen to what Jesus said to the adulterous woman. The Bible says, she said, no man. Jesus asked, where are your accusers? Says, they are gone. Says, no man. They are not there. Have they condemned? He said, no man, sir. Say, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Why? Because he was coming to bear our sins, the sins of the sinner. So he says, I don't condemn you. That is grace. But he didn't end there. The master didn't end there. He says, go and sin no more. That is where the part they will not add. Jesus said, go and I don't condemn you. That's what grace will do. But after grace has told you, I don't condemn you, grace also will tell you, but go and sin no more. So grace doesn't mean just forgiveness of sins or remission of sins, but also includes the future. Yes, you have been forgiven, like the Bible says, the goodness of God, turn man to repentance. You have been forgiven, but go and sin no more. Go and live righteously. That's what grace will tell you. She was given another chance to holiness. Grace will give you another chance to holiness. Grace doesn't keep you in sins. Any message that keeps you in sin is not grace. Paul says, he wrote to Titus chapter 2 from verse 11 to 12. He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. Doing what? Teaching us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world. In this current world, didn't say when Jesus Christ returns, in this current and present world. See, that's what grace will do to you. That's what grace will teach you. These are the holy words of God through his servant Paul. Don't let them deceive you. It says grace will teach you to deny ungodliness. Grace will teach you to deny worldly lust. Grace will teach you to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present current world. That's what grace will tell you. Any message, any gospel which doesn't teach you this is a lie. It's not from God. Don't let them deceive you as a Christian. The Holy Spirit prophesied of a time that doctrines of devils were going to be preached in certain churches. Now, beloved child of God, now you know, you have understood. You know the messages now which are of the devil. And you see, most of them have been propagated in many circles of the church. It's very popular. But you see the source. The source are seducing spirit, misleading spirit. They are called misleading spirit. These are spirit that comes to mislead. Please be conscious of what I'm sharing with you this morning through the Holy Ghost. Be conscious of it. Because if a man of God is operating by this, someone who claims to be a man of God, is in the church but is operating with this spirit, what is he going to do to the church, the flock? He's going to mislead them. I went to, in Sweden. These things I have to mention the country because these things are very important. In Sweden, I went to a church where the pastor of the church was preaching such a message. He says, Paul, he took a scripture out of context, Romans chapter 7. Out of context. And says, look, Paul was even struggling with sins, which was not true. And you see, he said, if Paul was struggling with sins, who am I to rebuke and correct people who are sinning in the church? And see that God, Christ has paid for it all. And all the, when he said that, all the Christians in that church were shouting hallelujah. Why? Because they have been given a license to go on sinning. See, this is what Paul was saying here. They were heaping to themselves deceivers, false teachers, misleading spirits. Such a man of God, he was a pastor. I'll mention him. That was some years back. In a church. What spirit was he operating by? A seducing spirit, a misleading spirit. But these people thought that he was a man of God preaching them the word of God. No. He's operating by a misleading spirit, demonic spirit. You have to be careful as a Christian. You see, the Bible says in the last days, perilous time shall come. Don't think that Satan will sit idle and say, like, oh, you Christian, go to heaven. He's working tirelessly, sending people to seduce people and deceive people and take them to hell. So you have to be very careful and be very conscious. That's why he tells us, says in the last days, you should be vigilant. Says in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times shall come. That is why he told us. And he went on to tell us all the wickedness, all the moral decadence that will happen in the church, all the apostasies that will happen in the church. Goes on to tell us. Paul says, they will turn their ears from the truth unto fables, because such messages gratify their flesh, and will heap to themselves teachers, teaching them fables and doctrines of devils in the church. My emphasis this morning is that these messages, what the Holy Spirit is telling us, they will be in the church. You find them in the church, not in the world. They will be teaching it in the church. You have to be careful. Now, this tells you how one of the signs that Paul gave which should happen before the soon return of Jesus is going to come. That is why when I said that I'll bring a scripture and link it to the latter times. You see, when you read, Paul says that these things were going to happen in the latter days, in the latter times. Now, remember when Paul wrote to the saints at Thessalonica to address certain issues about the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave them two signs, two things that should happen before Jesus will return. He talked about first the apostasy of the church, which will happen first, then which will give way to the Antichrist. Then after the Antichrist comes, then the Lord will come. This tells you what will be behind the apostasy of the church. Many Christians falling away from the truth. Seducing spirit will be behind it. Doctrines of devils will come into the church to lead to that. So all these past years, so many Christians, there are some Christians who think that the first part has not happened, so you are still waiting for the apostasy of the church. No. if you don't have understanding of the word of God, certain things will be, prophecies will be fulfilled without even you knowing they are being fulfilled. Now, when he says he wrote to the Christians at Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, when he says, let no man deceive you concerning the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, except there come an apostasy first. So he says that apostasy will happen first, and that man of sin will be revealed, the Antichrist, the son of perdition. These two things have to happen before Jesus Christ returns. But then, among these two, the one which comes first is the falling away. So some people will say, oh, so I'm waiting for the apostasy of the church. When the apostasy of the church happens, then I'll be looking forward to the return of the Antichrist. Sorry, the coming of the Antichrist. No, child of God. The falling away has been happening years now, it has been happening. All those extreme grace messages, all those once saved, always saved, all those messages that keep the homosexual in the church, All those messages that keep the fornicator in the church, the adulterer in the church, all those messages that props their mind up to be living in those sinful, committing those sinful acts and living in sin, abiding in sin because they say Jesus Christ has paid it all. All those are fulfillment of the first part. All those are fulfillment of the falling away first. It has been happening. So it has been happening over the years past and it's still happening. So that prophecy that Paul gave is being fulfilled. It has been fulfilled and it's still going on. And that is why you have to know that we live in the last days. The second return of Jesus is very soon approaching. The ushering of the Antichrist is right around the corner. You see that? So you have to know the times in which we're living, so that you know when prophecies are being fulfilled in your days, you will know that they are being fulfilled in your days. Yes, the apostasy from the faith will occur first, and it started years back. You have to understand that when he talks about the falling away, the apostasy, it doesn't mean they will stay at home and not enter a building culture. You know, sometimes when the Bible, Paul says there will be a falling away, some people assume that it means that these Christians will no more be coming to church, right? They will stay at home, no more, you know, no more see them in the church. That is the understanding of the apostasy. No, not at all. The apostasy does not mean a person not coming to church. Not at all. They'll be coming to church. They'll be coming to church. But then they'll be giving heed to seducing spirit and living and abiding in sins. And living away in an erroneous life. The spirit of disobedience will be working in them. That's apostasy. That's the true definition of apostasy. That's what Paul here was explaining. So there'll be an assemblage. They'll come to church. But then they have fallen apostate without even you knowing they have fallen apostate. But it doesn't mean they will stay at home and not enter a building called church. No, they will still be attending church, but will not endure sound doctrines, but give heed to doctrines of devils. That is what the apostasy is about. So you find them in a building called church, still praising Jesus, when you don't know that they are fallen apostate. So that part, of the prophecy has been fulfilled and is still going on. And that is why, my fellow brothers and sisters, if you are living in these times, we are living the end times. And now when we say the end times, we are not talking about 20 years or 30 years from now. We are just there. Now if you see what is happening around the globe, you will know that the Lord Jesus is soon coming. If you are living in these times, you cannot be living anyhow and thinking carnally about, oh, how many cars will I get? How many mansions will I get? No, no, no. If you are living this time as a Christian and you are that's what drives you in life. You are very carnal. You are very carnal because you are living in the dangerous times. These are times, you see. These are the climatic times. You cannot joke with these times. You have to be focused more than ever, determined more than ever, because the Lord Jesus is coming. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us. Please subscribe to our weekly podcast and download our app, Light Embassy Church. Stay on the channel for the next episode.